Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Saddle Up Show with Shad and Destin. I'm your host, Rashad McGinnis. My co-host here, Destin Adams. How are you doing, Destin?
I'm doing good, man. I mean, as we're recording this, Monday Night Football's on, the matchup of the week. You don't always see the best matchup on primetime football anymore, just because the schedule's made early on. But the red-hot Bengals and the red-hot Bills, neither team has lost since Thanksgiving. So, I mean, recording the show and watching some football. What else can I do?
Well, it's good you're getting to appreciate some good football because there wasn't any Sunday happening at 12 o'clock, especially in the New York area. You know, it was what we all expected. You know, another Colts loss. I think some people thought this game would have been closer than it was, but it wasn't. The Colts got beat down. I don't even remember the score. I can care less about the score. I'm not even going to waste y'all time going into depth, recapping the game, just some random thoughts. It just looks like this Colts team is out of it. They are waiting. They're trying to get to the offseason. People are planning vacation, planning trips, planning offseason activities at this point. Some coaches know they won't be back. Some coaches don't want to be back. It's a lot going on behind the scenes. I know Destin has been hearing about it. My phone has been ringing off the hook about it. It's a lot going on, man. And thank God we only have one more week left for this. And then we can get to what we really want to talk about, and that's the offseason. Any thoughts on this game that the Giants basically dominated? I don't know if you want to save it for the questions that we have to give your opinion, or if you just want to say a couple of things right now.
I mean, it was really bad. It feels like there's just keeps being these all-time lows. Like, team – We've been the clincher for a lot of teams this year. Just teams punching their playoff ticket because they're getting to face us. I think the best quote that I saw from game day that just sums up this season as a whole is the Indianapolis Colts are the team other teams would schedule for homecoming.
That's crazy. Who said that?
I believe it was the fan. So 1070 the fan, multiple different shows over there, but their official page I think is the one who tweeted it out, and it may have been like a headline of an article, but like that tagline was just gold to me.
That's definitely an awesome tagline, and shout out to them. I commend them. That's definitely the most truest thing I've heard probably all weekend about this Indianapolis Colts team. It just continues to put out pathetic efforts and pathetic performances that Jim Mersey is going to continue to ignore because he doesn't have to answer it. He doesn't have to face it. I'm sure he'll come out with a cliche to get us ready for this week, the last game of the season where we play the Texans, who is just to touch on the playoff picture real briefly because we don't have a question about it, I don't believe. The Colts can get up as high as to 3. With Arizona and is it Broncos?
Denver?
Broncos, yeah. They need an Arizona and Broncos loss to get to 3. They could get to 4 with an Arizona or a Broncos loss. And if they win, the furthest they can fall is to 6 with a Rams win, I believe. If the Rams lose and we win, then we'll go to 6. But if the Rams win and we win, we'll just stay at 5. Currently,
essentially, just look at the schedule. Any team with 4 or 5 wins I would root for this coming week. The reason you're going to root for 5-win teams is because then if the Colts do sneak the win out on the final game of the regular season against the Houston Texans, who have every reason to lose this football game. Like, this isn't a situation where the Texans have locked up that number one pick, everybody. If they lose, I mean, if they win this football game and the Bears lose their final game, the Bears have the number one pick, and everyone and their mama is going to be trying to trade up to that number one pick in front of Houston to get whoever that franchise views as the number one quarterback on the board. So, I mean, this is a pretty big moment for Houston. You got to think Houston knows that they should lose this game. Players don't tank, organizations do. So we'll see how they can map this out, but it'll be Sam Ellinger versus Davis Mills at the moment. So should be a fun one.
Should be a fun one. That's how he described it. I'm sure fun would be the adjective I would use.
It'll be lowercase fun. No capital F there.
Okay. Well, let's get to the questions, man. We had a lot of questions. We can't get to everybody's questions. I believe we had a good bit. And we don't want to, you know, answer your question with a BS answer and not give it the time and attention it deserves. So we picked a few. I know a majority, well, a lot of them was the same question. So we just kind of took one that would essentially cover most of you guys' question that asked similar questions. And if we don't get a chance to get to your question specifically, then just yell at Destin. That's like, just at him, go in his mentions, tear him to shreds because it's his fault. Pretty much it. So our first question come from Landon, man, at Landon Oliver. Well, his name is Landon Oliver. It's at Landon3MR, a great friend of mine over there at the Blue Stable. He had a good question, and it was related to the game. So that's why I decided we should tackle this one first. It's a hot topic that people have been discussing. And Destin has quite a unique opinion on it. And let's get to it. It says, what's your opinion on the O-line not defending a QB and what has transpired in the locker room?
I'll answer the first part of it. Like, how do I feel about the offensive line not sticking up for it? If the offensive line had an issue with it, then they 100% should have taken offense to it. They 100% should have done something about it. I mean, we've heard some of them already mention that they did take it the wrong way, but we didn't see that on game day. Like, we didn't see any emotion about that. So, I mean, I guess that's my biggest issue there. To me, I'll be honest. Like, I think this is kind of being blown out of proportion a little bit to Thibodeau. Like, I feel like the sack happens. He immediately rolls off. He does the celebration. Like, that's the league we live in now, guys. Like, all these young players celebrate anything they do. We see dudes doing the gritty on first downs now. We saw
I seen Jair do it off of the breakup. It was like a 10-yard out route to Justin Jefferson. He broke the pass up and got up gritty, and I was like, okay. Yeah,
in his face.
Yeah, he did.
Uber disrespectful. But like I said, like, it just, to me, seems very coincidental. He rolls off. It happens. Now, what I do think was disrespectful on Thibodeau's part and something he just needs to check going forward, the going to sleep on the sideline while a cart's coming out to get the guy you just sacked. Like, trash. Come on. Like, come on now. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's just ridiculous. Disrespectful, trash, like any word you want to use for it. Like, that stuff can't happen, and that stuff should irritate people like Jeff Saturday, who was going to, at it in the press conference today. But overall, the uproar over the snow angel, I just think is unwarranted.
And I think, see, when you see the go to sleep on the sideline, it makes you look at the turf angel, you know, totally different. Because initially when it happened, I'm not going to lie, watching it live, I 100% don't think Thibodeau saw him. I think he just sacked him. I think he rolled over and he did the turf angel. Did it look cringy watching it? Yeah, it did look cringy. But I honestly, at that time, didn't think he saw him until I saw the celebration on the sideline. I saw him do the go to sleep thing. I was like, okay, well, maybe he did see him and didn't give a shit. My problem is all of you guys running to microphones or getting microphones thrown in your face, and now you want to voice your displeasure for it when you had ample amount of, you know, opportunity to do something about it. Even if you saw him do the turf angel and you wasn't offended by it because you didn't know if he knew Nick Foles was hurt or whatever, when you saw the go to sleep on the sideline thing, Thibodeau ran out there for the rest of the game. It wasn't like you had to respond right there in a moment. He had another teammate who was pounding him on his chest that clearly saw that Nick Foles was injured. You guys didn't do anything to him, not even a push, not even a shove. You had the rest of the game. Those guys went out there and played, and they kicked your ass all game. So now don't run to the media and get offended now, you know. And to speak to a little bit about the second part of Landon's question, it's not too much I can say about it, but I'm well aware of everything that's going on in the locker room. I do want to say, I don't think the thing that came out about Yannick and Quentin Nelson, I haven't heard anything about it. I won't say it's false. I won't say it's fake. I just haven't heard that per se. I know things are going on in the locker room that's bad. You know, players that has checked out. I know players personally that reached out to agents that want to leave. I know coaches that have told that has told coworkers, you know, people that other fellow coaches, their peers, that they want out. You know, but I don't know anything about Yannick Ngakoue and Quentin Nelson putting hands on each other at practice or whatever, and that's why Yannick's out for the rest of the season. I don't know anything about that. But I do definitely know that the locker room is in complete shambles. This team is real close to really imploding. And I think one of these days you're going to see one of these players go on maybe a show or a podcast or go somewhere nationally and talk about this season and then talk about some of these things, and you're going to find out a lot more that's going on behind the scenes that you guys really have no idea what's going on, because it's really crazy. I think this season ending just in time so these guys can get away from each other, kind of go spend time with their families or doing whatever they like to do and kind of regroup and then come back with a renewed interest and just a lot fresher minds, because they're pretty worn down physically and mentally at this point.
Yeah, locker room morale is not at an all-time high.
What about our culture, though?
The culture has turned from C-O-L-T-U-R-E back to the normal culture. The wording has been changed. A lot of these guys are going to get their wish. That's all I'll say. I mean, like the coaching staff, like a lot of these guys – whether it's Saturday or not, obviously, knock on wood, we're hoping for an entirely new staff from the head coaching down. To me, the only offensive staff member I would expect to be back, and I don't know if I expect's the right word, it's just if he wants to be here, he can, is Reggie Wayne. Like, I think that's the only offensive staff member I see any chance of being here.
Kind of like grandfathered in. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them may look for jobs elsewhere. Some of them may be out of the league for the rest of their careers, like Chris Strasser. and then the defensive staff, I think they're gone for a different reason. Like, I think that defensive staff could go and have jobs in a lot of places, like, immediately. Personally, I could see a lot of things happening this offseason for them. So two sides of the coin there. But I think people want out. I think people are going to get out. This offseason is going to be interesting. I think we could see a lot of moves, a lot of vets possibly moved elsewhere for picks, some coaches let out of their contract negotiations. It'll be an interesting offseason. That's all we'll say.
I did tell you about that defensive coach, right?
Yes.
I did? Okay. All right, moving on. Oh, it's on your turn. It's your turn.
Rashad's messy, guys.
I really legit didn't know if I told you. I thought I did, but I wasn't sure if I told you. But
messy Rashad is here to play. We see it. But next one coming from Moody at Moody B804. I don't think we've ever had a question from Moody before. Am I wrong? I don't think so.
I think this. It's the first time we ever got a question from Moody. And that's another thing I tried to do. I tried to pick people that, you know, we haven't had questions from. We let them get a chance to get on, because our faithful, we do appreciate y'all. You know, it's just the other people that get mad if we just only answer you guys' questions.
Yeah, we don't want to be a nepotism podcast here.
Look at Destin bringing out the college words. Okay.
Hey, I gotta read a lot during this season, man. There's not much else to do. But this is coming from Moody at Moody B804. Mm-hmm. And I will Moody say this, 804 is not an Indiana area code that I know.
I have to look up what 804 is before I can accurately assess this at name.
It may not be an area code also. We don't know that for sure. I'm just telling you, I know for a fact it is not an Indiana notable area code, at least.
It's actually Richmond. It's Virginia.
Oh, there you go.
Shout out. I believe Zach Hicks is from out that way, too. I believe he's from the Virginia area. Yep. So, shout out to Moody. Moody B. H-O, I say H-O-4. 804. I'm going to give it a 6, man. I'm good with this ad name. You know, if your name's Moody, you got the Moody, got the B, you got your area code. And then I go on this page, and sure enough, his last tweet was a retweet of Zach Hicks. Shout out to Zach Hicks. Shout out to Locked On. Shout out to SI, Sports Illustrated.
They're probably neighbors, right? That they're neighbors?
This might be Zach's burner.
Oh, might be Zach's burner. Question.
What you giving it?
I'll go a 6 as well. I go 6.5 normally for first name, last name. Then the number's there. So I'll take it down to a 0.5 to a 6. Question, pretty simple one. Talk of the town, though. How likely is it that Jim Harbaugh will be our head coach?
Yeah, when I was organizing it, I kind of wanted to get to this question early because I know that was a hot topic on the timeline.
Press.
Did you see the athletics report that came out earlier? Of course you did. You're a media guy. You have to have saw it. The people are saying Jim Harbaugh will take a job. The Athletic reported it today with several writers that combined to break this story, saying that Jim Harbaugh is willing to accept a job if he's offered. There'll be multiple teams that will offer him. I don't know if we're allowed to say, Destin, what you told me earlier. But I really think that Jim Harbaugh has a high chance to be the next head coach for the Indianapolis Colts. I've been talking about it with another guy in the media for at least about a month now, a month and a half, maybe 2 months even. That's how long ago we've been discussing this very possible scenario. And it just lines up with the opening, just lines up with what Jim Harbaugh's interest is. I think he's at a point where he feels like he's accomplished, you know, pretty much what he can at Michigan, turning that program around from where it was when he got it. And I know he hasn't won a national championship, and a lot of people's going to knock him on that. I noticed this little stigma saying he can't win a big one because he also lost a Super Bowl as well. But his stint with San Francisco 49ers was an amazing one. Two NFC championships, a Super Bowl appearance. He came within a blink of an eye winning. I don't see no reason why you wouldn't want a guy like Jim Harbaugh. I spoke to a couple of former players of his earlier today. They absolutely loved playing for the guy. And that's an endorsement, man. Players, they have no reason to lie to me to say they love playing for Jim Harbaugh. If they really couldn't stand the guy, thought he was a prick, thought he did nothing for the culture, then they would have just said it. But everybody I know speaks highly of the guy, proven track record. Offensive mind. I think he can develop a quarterback. History with the Colts. It's just a lot of things lined up for this move to happen. I think it's just really up to Irsay to go get him and make it worth his while.
Oh, I mean, the question of being how likely. I mean, I don't know. I know for a fact at least three teams that have already interest in there with Harbaugh. Two of those being spots that have fired a coach mid-year. You guys do the math of who that could be. But
process of elimination.
So I think Harbaugh will have offers. So the report coming out from The Athletic, to me, it just the writing was on the wall that Harbaugh is going to be back in the NFL eventually. I think it was just always about, do we feel like Michigan has hit that curve, that cap of where they – is he going to take Michigan farther? And it felt like if it was going to happen, it was going to be this year. If they were going to be able to make it, obviously they end up losing to the TCU Horned Frogs. I just think it makes sense. I do. I just think he is a Ring of Honor guy, former Colt. He already has some roots in the Indiana area as he has part ownership in an IndyCar team. I don't know if that's known by everyone out there, but so maybe that's a fun fact for you listening at home. But he has many things that could just connect him to make this maybe make more sense than maybe some West Coast opportunities he could possibly get or things like that. So I really do think of the jobs open, the Colts should be the favorite for Harbaugh. And I know Harbaugh is one of Irsay's guys. Like every time he's in town for the Big Ten championship, he has dinner with Irsay. They stay in constant communication throughout the year. I jokingly tweeted when I saw someone say, like, has Jim Irsay called Jim Harbaugh yet? I jokingly tweeted saying that I'm sure he called Jim Harbaugh back in November to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm sure he has been in communication. I think it could happen. I do. I think there's going to be full interview process done. I do not believe Jeff Saturday is going to be the head coach, though. I feel like Jim Harbaugh has a higher percent chance of being the full-time head coach of the Indianapolis Colts than Jeff Saturday does, who is currently in the interim role.
And I'm still looking for somebody who has a direct line on Jim Harbaugh if they want, so I can take him out to dinner on January 9th. Hopefully, you know, we go to little St. Elmo's, you know, try some shrimp, this famous shrimp that I've been hearing about. Let's see, who's our next question from? Our next question is from L. Rob. His at name is at Kid Jock. I felt like we did this one already. I'm not sure. Do you remember that?
That's I remember L. Rob. I don't remember Kid Jock.
I remember L. Rob also. So
maybe he's changed that recently, or maybe we're just thinking of someone else.
That's certainly possible. From Carmel, Indiana. I don't know. I don't know if we did it. I'm just going to give it a 6, though, just because it's pretty standard. Until I find out what the Kid Jock mean, I can't go any higher than a 6. But you don't have any numbers and any underscores in it, so it's fine with me.
I like Kid Jock. I mean, it flows decently enough. So, mm-hmm. like, I'll give it a 7. Even though he doesn't follow me on Twitter, I'll still give him a 7.
Hey, man, it's not important. Don't just throw your follow request
I didn't.
Out at my followers.
I didn't even affect his number grade here. I gave him a higher grade than you, apparently. So
I never, you know, punish your followers for not following me. I don't do it.
That's your choice.
His question is, who on this Colts team might the Bears be interested in getting? I thought this was a good question because I had a lot of other questions me and Destin had about the Colts trading up to the number 2 spot, where it looks like the Bears are going to finish, although they can get up to the number 1 spot with a Houston win and if they lose this Sunday. But let's just talk about what the package may be for the Colts as a whole, you know, what it might take, who the Bears might be interested in getting to help facilitate the trade, so the Colts don't just have to throw away the whole draft pick tank. They might can get off a couple of contracts in this process as well, because the Bears see value in these guys. So let's kind of talk about that.
So two names I think pop off to me immediately. Mm-hmm. I think Kenny Moore would make a lot of sense. A lot of the similar staff over there.
Absolutely.
Really flourished in Eberflus's system. And not a lot of inner DBs there to, like, compete with Kenny. So I think it would just make a lot of sense for him. The other one's kind of like a 1A, 1B, because I think you'd have to pick one of them. I think they would have interest in either Bobby Okereke, who is a free agent this offseason, or Shaq Leonard. To me, I think Bobby could be – the Colts haven't done this in a long time, but I think Bobby could be a tag candidate, and then it might be a tag and trade situation. I think that is a possibility out there. But either way, I think the Bears will throw money at Bobby if he hits the open market, if it gets there. And if he doesn't, I think you can't have – even if you tag Bobby, you tag him with the intent of making a decision between Shaq and Bobby, and you deal one of them.
Yeah, I agree with those two. I want to throw in, you know, DeForest Buckner or Grover Stewart as well. I don't think, I wouldn't want the Colts to move on from either one of those guys. I can see DeForest Buckner, if the Bears hypothetically was at 2 and the Colts was at 5, Colts want to get to 2. I think it'll take that fit next year's first, and maybe a DeForest Buckner will get you 2. You know, up to the fifth without having to give up 2 first rounders or a first and a second. Maybe you take, you know, a guy like DeForest Buckner, and the Colts will look at it as they're freeing up, you know, anywhere from $18 to $20 million worth of cap room in the process. And the Bears will be happy because they're getting one of the best interior defensive players in the NFL. So I think that's a possibility.
Do you think it's a possibility with Ballard, or like with Ballard in the spot or without? I think that's more likely if Ballard's gone. If a new GM comes
Oh
in,
yeah, absolutely.
everybody could be there. Who
Yeah,
knows?
yeah. And I also think EJ Speed is certainly a possibility. But I believe EJ Speed is a free agent though, right?
Yes. Bobby and EJ.
So the Bears could just sign those guys outright. 'Cause like you say, I'm expecting at this point, Bobby's more than likely is going to get the franchise tag. I don't see them giving him a long-term deal with Zaire under contract and Shaq currently under contract. I just think it'll take too much to move the Shaq deal right now with him coming off an injury. I don't even feel like the Colts would probably get proper value for him right now. The Bears might be inclined to trade for him because they think they can fleece the Colts on what his value actually is. But I think if it comes down to either Bobby or Shaq, I think the Bears would prefer Shaq. For one, he's just as good almost as Shaq in the run game. He's a better cover linebacker than Shaq.
So you
Shaq?
meant Bobby?
Yeah.
Okay, you said if you had to guess who they prefer, you would guess Shaq.
Oh, I would guess Bobby. I'm sorry.
No, you're
Yeah,
good. I,
I would
that's what I
definitely
thought you
guess
meant.
Bobby. Bobby will come in a lot cheaper. You can lock him up long term at a pretty good number right now. And I think where his ceiling is higher than Shaq's, just because Shaq is boom or bust. The turnovers is awesome. I believe he's the best in the league at forcing turnovers. But I just don't know if that's a sustainable thing that you can do year in and year out and depend on year in and year out. While what Bobby brings is he's starting to bring that more of turnover ability because he punched one out just Sunday, as we saw. But he's a better cover linebacker. I think he flows better side to side and he feels in a run game. I just love Bobby's game all around. But if I think the Bears had their choice, I think it'll be Bobby over Shaq.
I agree with you. I think that it would probably be Bobby. Now, let's do a little trivia here. The Colts have not franchise tagged a player in quite a while. Do you remember who the last person the Colts franchise tagged was?
Is it a special teams player?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is it a punter?
Yes. Is it a multi-millionaire media personality now? Also, yes.
I see you realized that I knew exactly who it was. Pat McAfee was my guest. And I wasn't sure though. I wasn't 100% sure that it was him. I can't remember who was the last guy before him. I guess that's the real trivia question. Who was the last one before Pat McAfee?
I'm really not sure. I mean, the Ursae Colts really have went away from it as much as they could.
Oh yeah.
So, do you remember what year he was franchise tagged?
I have no idea.
You want to make a
I have
guess?
no idea.
Most of the time, we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
When you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it then in that moment. You don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series, Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, you know, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.
Hello, I'm Neelai Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. It comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you, if a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
2000 and I have no clue. I have no clue, literally. I'm blanking. Was it 14?
Really close. 2013. You went over. So Price is Right rules make it to where you get nothing. Sorry, no car for you, sir.
I got the person right, though. Don't I get like the pre-gift or something? Or did I risk it all when I went for the year?
You'll get a gift bag on the way out.
That's such bullshit.
You'll get a gift bag on the way out for your time and efforts. But that's all we could do at this time. I apologize.
Hey, that's more than what the Colts gave me for my time and efforts this year. We get to our next question.
Up next, this one's coming from J.R. Bergevin Marion. I have no idea if I just butchered Bergevin, so I apologize.
It just sounds like you butchered.
It's no, possible.
That's exactly
Bergevin. It's how it looks.
Bergevin.
You have to let us know. We'll need to get a little bit of an explanation there from it. But at J.R.B.M. Demon.
Okay. Oh, that's a lot going on right there.
It looks like his initials. So J.R. Bergevin Marion, Demon. Mm-hmm.
He's a demon. Okay. I'm cool with that. I get out of 7. I'm rocking with that.
Yeah, I'm a rock with a 7 too. Initials, little name, little tag at the end there. I would love to know if I got the name right. So make sure you let us know. But do you think it's realistic that the Colts trade up to secure one of Stroud or Young, or will Chris Ballard choke to select a young quarterback yet again?
Okay, I'm going to take this time out to address some shade I think Destin threw at me over the weekend on his Twitter account that I didn't want to address on Twitter because I wanted to take it straight to here, face to face, while I'm looking at him right now. Did you see the show that Stroud put on?
What a guy. What a dog.
What a guy. I took victory laps on Twitter, and Destin tweeted about people taking victory laps about CJ Stroud. So that tweet was not about anyone specifically.
I don't even know if I saw yours specifically. but I did see a lot. And to me, it was more so a tweet just saying, I don't understand how someone – I just don't understand why people like felt the need to like criticize him so heavily before.
But see, so, that's the thing. That's what I was about to say. It was more about that. It wasn't really more so about telling you guys, hey, Stroud is a good quarterback. I mean, if you have eyes, you should know that Stroud is a pretty good quarterback. But I think he was taking so much unnecessary criticism because people see the way because of the quarterback that's playing right now. Look at a guy like Josh Allen. Stroud's not that kind of quarterback, but the NFL is morphing into those type of quarterbacks, creative quarterbacks that are mobile and create off platform, that strengths of those guys. Guys like Anthony Richardson, actually, you know, they're getting more love and getting pumped up more than Stroud because Stroud's a traditional type of passer. That was really more so what the victory lap was about. It's not telling you guys that Stroud was a good quarterback. That's pretty obvious.
So, yeah, obviously I was shading only Rashad in my post.
Absolutely.
But what I do want to say is that I think really the whole point of it in the end, C.J. Stroud, if you didn't have him as a top two quarterback there, I think there was just a little bit of too much going on. And that had to do a lot with it. So when you guys are listening to this tomorrow, we will have been watching the Bills-Bengals. I just want to go ahead and shout out, like say prayers up to DB Hamlin there out in Buffalo.
I didn't see it. What happened?
He had some situations going on. Looks like after he made a tackle, he had some sort of thing cause him to pass out. He ended up getting CPR on the field. And an ambulance just came and took him out. And both teams are now going to the locker room. So the game is being currently suspended right now. I don't know how long that's going to be. You guys will know more. Shit. You guys will know more tomorrow. But as we're watching this live, I just kind of wanted to mention that. Prayers up for him. Prayers up for his family. Prayers up for all of the Buffalo Bills right now as they're probably going through some stuff. And let's hope for the best for that guy as we continue on here with the show a little bit. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think when it's going back to talking about these young quarterbacks, I think this will be the year. I think there's just no way around it. You've gone the veteran route so many times. I don't think there's an explanation you can give to not take a young quarterback. And from what I've heard, I think they will be aggressive to trade up for the right guy. I don't want to tell you who I think that is for this regime. I know they like multiple guys in this class. And honestly, I think right now there are four guys that have franchise quarterback potential that if you end up with them on draft day, I don't see myself or most Colts fans or people covering the team being upset with. Now, the order is the big thing, right? If, for say, the 33rd team put out the thing today saying the Colts are going to take Will Levis at 7 and CJ Stroud's not going to go till 9, would my heart break a little bit if we took Will Levis over CJ Stroud? I'm not going to lie to you guys. It would a little bit.
It just depends on how it happens. I'm perfectly fine with Levis as a prospect.
Oh, me too. Like I said, any of the four.
Yeah, any of the four, I'm good with it. I believe me and Destin been on this boat for a little while now. But the way it has to fall, you know, it has to fall in the order I want it to fall in as well, you know, for me to be perfectly fine with it. You know, after what Stroud showed me, just answering all the questions that people had about him, and for Levis to get taken over Stroud would be a hard pill for me to swallow, but I believe I'll talk myself into it because I'm not down on him as a prospect, period. You know, I'm down on him in comparison to CJ Stroud, but who's to say if Levis was in this Ohio State offense, he wouldn't look just as good as CJ Stroud, not better, you know? So you tend to cope with it eventually after it happens and you get adjusted and you become fine with it. I just would like to have CJ Stroud though, after what I've seen, and I would probably do some illegal things to make CJ Stroud Indianapolis Colt.
Just wait until CJ Stroud actually tests as an above average athlete. Because people think he's only a pocket passer, Rashad.
I argued with people about this, but then, you know, I'm not the arguer of the group. I try to send people to Destin to argue with because I'm not the arguer. But I tell people, man, he's a decent athlete. Ohio State just didn't require that from him. I do appreciate seeing Ryan Day early on in that game make it a priority to get him out on the move so he can throw the ball off platform, and you can mitigate a pass rush when you get the guy outside the tackle early, get him on boots, get him on play actions, and get him outside the pocket so he can show off his ability to move that. And I bet that caught Georgia really off guard because they was expecting the same thing that we've been hearing from everybody else. Oh, he can't move. He can't create it. So, you know, they got just what they expected.
At the end of the day, Ohio State is a very one read centric offense. I mean, it's part of the things that has caused some Ohio State quarterbacks to struggle early on. I think one of the things that you see in Stroud's game that elevates him over that is just, you see him go through progressions. You see him maneuver in the pocket. And the thing is, like, he's going to test well. He's not going to test in the elite level. Like guys like Anthony Richardson, Will Levis is going to test better than Bryce Young. Like of the four, athletically, is he going to test as the worst of those four? Probably. But like, he's going to be an above average athlete. I'm willing to bet a lot of money right now that he still tests in the above average quartile. I don't know about the top quartile of the upper quartile, but he is going to be a solid athlete. So to me, CJ Stroud has showed me the things during his entire college career, but I think he's the kind of guy that you trade up for. Like that's where I stand. Like, I think he is the type of guy you trade up for that can change things. And if there's something this team needs more than anything, it is change. And I'm not talking nickels and dimes.
Yeah, man. So, okay, well, let's get to our next question. Our next question is from Maldi. His at name is at T underscore royalty underscore M T royalty M. What are you giving at? Two underscores, Destin. Don't punish him too bad for it.
I'll try not to double. I'm not going to double up with my punishments. But the punishment has to be there. T underscore royalty underscore M. I'm gonna go a 5.5.
I'm gonna go 6. I think 6 is cool. I like the name T Royalty M, but the underscores is what's keeping it from being a 6.5 for sure. And I don't know what the T. I'm gonna assume the M stand for Maldi since that's your name. His question is: in terms of our coach for next year, would you rather have D'Amico Ryans or Eric Bieniemy? I think those are the best candidates available beyond college coaches like Harbaugh. How much would you hate making Saturday our full-time head coach? I don't really hate it, to be honest.
I'll start with the second question, actually. I would hate it. I just think you have to have some sort of experience, some sort of pedigree right now. Like, you need structure, and this team doesn't have it. And you have to earn the overall head coaching job from the interim role. Interim coaches do it. Steve Wilks in Carolina, I think he has earned every shot at being the head coach there. Will he end up being it? I don't know. But he has earned the right to be in that conversation. I personally, when you go 1-6 and after the first game you're losing every game in embarrassing fashion, I don't know how that's earning it. Like, that to me, that just doesn't fall under that. When it comes to D'Amico and Bieniemy, I usually am always going to side offensively. I think you need, especially when you're taking a young quarterback, you don't want to have to keep playing the offensive coordinator carousel. But between Bieniemy and D'Amico Ryans, I'm going D'Amico Ryans all day, every day. D'Amico Ryans is a true leader of men, a guy who gets the most out of the guys he's in charge of, and he himself is the sole person in charge of what he's over. Bieniemy is not, with Andy Reid right there still calling a lot of plays. I've also heard a lot of negative things towards Bieniemy's interviews in the past across the league, and there's a reason that I've heard of why he's not gotten jobs. So I think that was also something that goes into effect. I do think he's getting close, and he's going to end up getting a job soon. I just don't think it should be Indianapolis, and I don't think he will want it to be Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with D'Amico Ryans. I had the pleasure of meeting the guy a couple times. Spoke to him earlier in the season, you know, during a certain Colts situation. But I would definitely prefer him over Eric Bieniemy. Do I think he will be the guy? No, for several reasons. But getting to the Jeff Saturday point, I would hate it. I would hate it a lot. I would hate it pretty bad. I just couldn't understand. I just can't see a world where it makes sense to make Jeff Saturday the full-time head coach with what we saw. Yes, this team was bad. He inherited a bad team. I heard him say this multiple weeks. He knew it was bad. That's why he's there in the first place. But that's no excuse for you to put on these performances that you have put on. To have an 80-point differential in 7 games as head coach is just – that's worst team in the league type performances. And I can argue that the Colts have been the worst team in the league since Jeff Saturday has taken over as head coach. They're performing at an atrocious rate. This team looks pathetic. The last 6 games, they've been blown out. They've been embarrassed multiple times on primetime television. The offense doesn't look competent. Yes, the offensive line has started to take strides. With the insert, with Saturday decided to make Ryman a full-time starter, even though Frank was already trending in that direction as is, which people won't say. With Will Fries playing guard, yes, the team has looked better on the offensive line, but that's really the only improvement this team has made for the past 7 weeks. If you want to give him a job, you give him an offensive line coaching job and you call it a day. You can't afford to be rolling Jeff Saturday out there every week. It kind of just put the Colts right back in a situation. How long then after that are we talking about Jeff Saturday being on the hot seat? You know, it just literally makes no sense. Unless you tie him and Chris Ballard at the hip, give him 1 year, and then they're both gone at the end of the season. Because that's the only thing that would happen. This team, Jeff Saturday, would embarrass this team to the point where you end up getting both of them fired anyway. I can't even see him putting a competent staff together with coaches that has experience in the NFL because they're all pissed off at the way he even got the job. So it would probably be a lot of former players with no coaching experience coming on to be a part of his staff. It's just too many things, unnecessary things that you don't have to deal with when there's a lot of great candidates out there, and I think you should go.
Yeah, I agree. The only team in the last 7 games to have a worse record than the Colts is the Tennessee Titans. 0-7.
Really?
There's teams that are tied. There are teams that are tied with only one win in that streak. But the only team with a worse record in the last 7 since Saturday has been in his role is the Tennessee Titans. Man.
That is truly sad. That's going to do it this week for – well, not this week. We still have to come back for a game preview of the Houston Texans' upcoming game. That'll be this Sunday.
Slobber knocker coming up this Sunday.
We're going to find out who truly is the worst team coming up this Sunday when the Colts take on the Texans. Destin, did you have anything you want to say before we got up out of here?
Nope. I mean, I'm interested to see how this team ends the year. Usually you want to end it with that positive momentum. I don't think a win Sunday does you any good in just about any area right now. You want to make it competitive. You want to play. You want to play hard. And if you end up winning and you fall to 6, it is what it is. But you have to get some sort of stability or you're going to lose more notable people in this locker room than people realize.
Yeah, man. And I haven't been able to focus ever since I got this DeMar Hamlin news. I'm glad you interrupted the podcast to talk about it. And I immediately ran to Twitter and now my mentions is blowing up with everybody telling me that what happened. I won't speak on it until I get more information. But prayers up to his family, man. Prayers. I pray that this guy makes it out this situation. This is brutal. Oh my God. Somebody just sent it to me and it's pretty spooky to look at. Yeah, man, that's another episode of the Saddle Up Show with Shad and Destin. Thank y'all for tuning in. We will see y'all in 2 days. Peace.